koutou, and welcome to South Pacific Muscle. Myself, Nate, and Mike here, waiting on our special guest tonight. How you been, Mike?
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, mate, it's school holidays. I'm living the dream.
Sounding pretty chipper, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I cardio every morning, and then I've got to have a nap most days too. You know, it's like the life of a pro bodybuilder. It's pretty good.
I miss my Nana naps, bro. I fucking love that shit.
I decided this 2 weeks I was going to do a pretend prep, you know, just to sort of remind myself what it's like. So when I start in July, it's not such a shock. And it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. You know, cardio every morning and, you know, smash my weights and eat normal food and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I've had naps most days, and I don't know if I'm going to get that right through prep. I have to keep working. So I don't know if I'm quite ready for it yet. I'll come crashing down next week. Yeah. How about you, man? As a trainer, I'm seeing some good videos coming up.
Yeah, man. Today I actually did something a little bit different because I'm starting a new program next week. And so I went into the gym tonight and just decided to go and do a pump workout. And it was really good. Really enjoyed it. Kind of, you know, took a lot of pressure off having to chase numbers. And I just went in and did three sets of an exercise and then moved to three sets of another exercise and got a phenomenal pump and just really enjoyed it. It was nice. It was a good change.
You kind of, like, I'll often go in there and on the way there, I go, oh, man, I really feel like doing such and such exercise. And I'll start doing it and I'll go, man, you know what? I think it'll feel good to do this next. Often sort of let the workout evolve by sort of where I want to feel the pump in the muscle or where I feel the current fatigue and want to move it around. So do you have a sort of freestyle workouts like that? You're not allowed to, are you, in your program?
Well, I haven't been because I've been doing sort of progressive overload and every exercise is set every week. And I think, though, might be a nice change to try a bit of programming with your progressive overload, but with a bit of flex in your intensity exercises towards the end. Because I run a hybrid type program, so I do a bit of both. But I could easily flex on those the sort of tail end of the workout, so it might be quite a nice thing to do. But
just found it's a good way to evolve my program. Yep. You know, like my back, I'm sort of struggling to bring my back up, I guess, and really trying to hit my lower lats a lot. And so I'll sort of see something online and maybe give it a try and sort of see how it feels, and then I'll kind of, you know, really, it just makes me feel like doing something else next. So kind of freestyle a little bit like that, and then kind of come up with a new format and then repeat that for 3 or 4 weeks and then sort of modify again. So
yeah, I used to do a lot of that. I used to really enjoy it, but I kind of sort of got away from it. So maybe, you know, I'll get to revisit that. We'll see. Yeah. Interesting, though, like I kind of see the flip side of that where, you know, there's a lot of young guys in the gym that are just constantly changing their exercises and coming up with more, you know, and they're often really fancy. You know, they always require three sets of dumbbells and you know, the weights are really mediocre, to be fair. And I think a lot of people do themselves an injustice by trying to be too creative in their workout and just not getting core business done. Because I think there's a certain amount of grind and heavy work that you just need to do if you want to have the size. So
I think chasing that progressive overload like you have been for a while, I mean, it's pretty crucial. I think you earn the right over time to be able to sort of train by a feel. So, you know, many years down the track, you can kind of get a good workout by training by feel when you've sort of earned that right by getting that mind-muscle connection. But I still think, yeah, you can't do that every workout. You can't just go, oh, what I feel like doing today.
And I think, you know, regardless if you're doing a progressive overload program or, you know, a high volume program, there still has to be some core basic stuff in there. And I think
you're always chasing numbers, eh? I mean, even if you're not doing progressive overload, you still, yeah, you remember, you know, if you're repeating what you did last week, you remember what you got last week and you want to get more.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good way, though, to, you know, drop back to the, you know, almost a bro split might be with a bit less volume, and it might be a great way to just to deload if you've done progressive overload for so long. Because I noticed that, you know, my joints were starting to get pretty sore because I just hammered them week in, week out. And probably to my detriment, I, you know, didn't take enough time to deload or cut some volume. You know, I was too busy listening to a coach that wasn't listening to me. So, you know,
I just decided to go really left field with my training because You know, I was focusing on my back since last year, and that seems to be coming up pretty nicely. And I went, you know, as most bodybuilders do, something starts coming up and then you realize what the next thing on the list. So the next thing on the list was my arms. My arms are nowhere near big enough. So I sort of tinkered a little bit and went, nah, I'm going to go. I'm really going to make a drastic change. So out of my 4-day split, I've got 2 arm days. One's sort of a higher volume with shorter rest and one's sort of a really heavy one. But that means I've got back and chest on another day. Now, I don't do a lot of chest work. My pecs are pretty thick anyway, so I'll do a full back workout and then throw in 3 or 4 supersets on the chest afterwards. But that leaves delts and legs on the same day. So there's a lot going on those days. But, I mean, you know, you just can't do the same intensity or volume on those things with so much work. And then that's the sacrifice you make for putting those, you know, 2 arm days in. So I'm going to kind of see, I'm about 3 weeks into it. So I'll give it another week or so and I'll measure up again. So see how I go over the course of the month, see if I've managed to put any size on there, whether it's working. I just found that working them and taking my intra and taking my BCAAs and then kind of, you know, loading up on glycogen, loading them again afterwards. The next day they were pretty full and hard. I went, oh, if I get it a couple of times a week, maybe that's going to give me a little bit more growth. So just experimenting with that, you know, off season is the time to kind of have a crack at some things. So just give it a month and I'll see if I'm brave enough to give it another month.
Yeah. You're frozen up, man. You're frozen, bro.
Am I unfrozen now? You've froze for me a little bit, so.
Okay. No, I think you're right. And I like the idea of doing that. And I think probably for me, you know, I guess arms can never be big enough, but, you know, like for me, you know, with the quads, maybe I need to hit quads, you know, twice a week. And
that's, you know, a big load on your CNS, big load on your recovery. Arms are a small muscle group, right? So recovery is not as big a deal. You smash quads hard twice a week, that's gonna
I wouldn't be certainly hammering them twice hard in a week, but you know, maybe one lighter sort of workout just to get more volume in across a time period. I think it might be useful, which, you know, but then you sort of ask the question, you know, where do you take away from? And I guess, you know, way back when we did our first show, my only goal at our first show was to have the biggest legs and the biggest back on stage. I don't give a fuck about anything else. And, you know, now I'm really, really going to be struggling to have a really decent set of legs on stage this year. However, my back is significantly better than it's ever been. So maybe a little bit of that volume, as much as I love smashing, you know, my back to bits, maybe a bit of the volume comes out there and, you know, we throw a couple of, you know.
I was yakking to John Gallivan at the gym. Now, I know, you know John, he's in his late 50s now, but he's done 30, 40 shows, competed internationally. Lifetime Natty, competed at the universe, like really top quality bodybuilder. He was saying when he wants his legs to grow, he does 5 sets of squats 5 days a week. And that's it. That's all he does for his legs. For every workout, he does 5 sets of squats. That's it. He doesn't have a leg day, I don't think. I don't think he has a leg day as well. But it's for him, it's just volume every day, and that sort of makes his legs grow. But like, he is a bit of a genetic freak and sort of walks around at 7 or 8% body fat all year round. So I don't know if us mere mortals can take too much from that.
I don't know how you. The thing that strikes me from that is, how the hell do you do a workout after you've done 5 heavy sets of squats?
Well, who knows if they're heavy? You know, you go in and do sort of 80%, 5 sets of 10. Maybe it's that volume every day, because you couldn't smash yourself hard every day, day in, day out. So
must have a reasonable cardio capacity, I would imagine, to be able to, you know, to go into a full new body part, you know, that you've got to warm up and then launch into it after you've just smashed out, you know, your squats.
I wouldn't want to do him a disservice, but he's about 5'6", 5'7", so he's only moving those. He's only moving those squats about 1.5 feet up and down.
Interesting though, that approach works for him. And obviously, you know, given his quality of his physique and the amount of time that he has, you know, consistently put a good physique out there, he's obviously worked out what works for him. And it's not conventional, but, you know, pretty hard to say it's wrong when you've got a set of sticks like he has.
Yeah. Well, just goes to show, you know, when you've got the time, when you're off season, when you know, don't be afraid to do something really left field. But like we've always said, you know, if you're like you're scientific in your approach and you measure things and you work out if they work it out quickly, because if it didn't work, you can change to something else. But you never know. You can just try something out of left field and see if it works.
Yeah, and good to see you applying that to yourself. I picked up on it, but I didn't say anything. That you said that you were going to measure your arms after the little project with twice a week arms, and it'll be interesting to see what the outcome of that is, because it gives you.
Yeah, well, I mean, how much can you seriously expect to put on in a month? You know, probably not very much. I measured them just when I did my body fats on a Sunday morning. So first thing in the morning, I should be able to be consistent with the amount of, when it was before food, you know, water should be relatively consistent, unpumped, unflexed. So hopefully that'll be relatively consistent. I'll see if I've got, you know, like if I got a, I don't know, if I got a centimeter's growth in a month, that would be, I think, probably pretty impressive, because you extrapolate that over the next 5 months and I might have 20-inch arms.
If you got a centimeter's growth in a month, I'd be screaming out SEO, SEO. Yeah. No, I mean, look, if you could achieve that in that period, fuck, I'm signing up.
if you're less than a centimeter, is that really measurable? I mean, is that measuring error? I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm not a statistician, but I'm sure there's a way to determine if that's a significant increase. But look, I mean, if you could put a centimeter on your arms in you know, even in 2 months, you're doing phenomenally well with your sort of training history. I mean, it's not like a newbie getting in there and, you know, you grow like a weed, but yeah. How's the rest of the crew down at the Olympic? Have you got guys prepping for shows?
Yeah, I know they listen. So Jerry and Rob, they were prepping for ICN in Christchurch, and then it got cancelled. So they've booked themselves some flights, and they're off to NZFBB this weekend in Auckland. So Jerry was doing two or three classes at ICN, the Angel class and a couple others. She did tell me I should have taken more notice. Sorry, Jerry, if you listen. But she's now doing bikini. She hasn't done bikini before, so she's working on the posing and that sort of thing. So she just wants to get out there and do it. You know, she had the show cancelled for, I don't know if it was the Pro-Am or another one, but last year during COVID. Yep. So she had a show cancelled then. So she's managed to make it on stage, but had another one taken away from her. So she's heading up there. And it's Rob's first show, so got the feeling that if he didn't do it this weekend, he probably wouldn't do it at all. It'd be
What class is Rob competing in?
He's doing over 35 bodybuilding. Okay. He's 53, but he said the class for his, maybe it was, no, it wasn't classic, because they don't have age groups for classic. It was, he said he was doing over 35 and he's 53, so he's a little bit over 35, but
scraping.
Looks pretty good. Trained by Dylan and Ruth, you know, Soul Strength Nutrition. So they've done a pretty good job of getting those guys in shape. And Jerry's posing's come along really well in the last 6 months or so. So she's going well too. I think they're the only ones competing. No one else is sort of making the big trek up to Auckland. A few other people sort of prepping for shows later in the year.
Yep.
Obviously, Delane, another guy. Tony's got 18 weeks until, I think it's Nava Christchurch she's doing. So. Yep. A few people sort of starting to wind into it, but I think the second half of the year is when everybody will really sort of hit their straps.
Yeah. And obviously, Dylan, we're having a crack again for the classic.
Yeah, he's doing Wellington. He's going to go for that pro card and athletic again.
Oh, cool. In the classic.
Sorry, classic. Yeah, not athletic. Yep.
Oh, cool. Very good. And Sheena Jane, have you spotted her training lately?
No, she tends to train a little bit later in the morning. She's sort of at 9, 10 o'clock-ish, she's in there. So I haven't seen her much, but, you know, say good day when I see her. I see lots of her posts, and I recognise the equipment, recognise the gym.
Does some quite good posts and, like, you know, gives some good exercise selection for people to sort of follow. So I always appreciate people that put a little bit of that up there so people can see what other people are doing and get some ideas and inspiration. So
especially from someone with her caliber and her quality, you know, she's someone you should listen to. She's been there and done that, knows her stuff. Delane's been copying a few of her glute ones. I mean, Delane's doing figure, but has historically had really flat glutes, so she's been hammering her glutes for a while. And it's strangely one side's coming up more than the other. I'm not quite sure what that is, but told her to do some isometric stuff. We'll see. She was, we were talking about the arm work the other day, and so maybe this is why my arms aren't big enough. I gave her some of the same stuff I was doing. I start one of my workouts with 10 sets of 10 on the easy bar curls, and I do it on the minute. So I get set takes about 25 seconds or so. So I get about 35 seconds rest. By the sort of eighth or ninth set, it's taking 35 seconds. So I'm getting about 25 second rest. So I don't use very much weight, but the fatigue kind of really kicks in, and by the end, it's pretty tough. And then Delaney's using, I don't think she's quite using the same weight as me, but almost the same weight as me. And when we do the same thing on tricep extensions, she goes, oh, I was doing it on the full stack. I said, yeah, that's kind of what I do. So I would have to check out her form. Perhaps it's that, but it could just be that she is very, very strong, likes outlifting the boys, but I'd like to think I can still outlift her.
Otherwise, I think you might lose your man of the house card there, bro.
I don't know if I ever had the man of the house card.
Oh, gold. Hey, talking about full stacks, I got my new toys. So, Phil Emmett, so great powerlifter. He was a guy that actually first trained me when I first joined the gym at 15. He was an international competitor in the junior and open men's IPF powerlifting and a couple of New Zealand records. Real good deadlifter, actually. He did 321 at 90 kilos or under 90 kilos, and I think 315 as an under 82, something like that. So phenomenal lifter. But anyway, he's an even better engineer. So he whipped me up some extensions. So now I can put Olympic plates on the machines and add, usually most machines probably an extra 2.5 plates. And also got a pin today for the stack. So managed to throw an extra 10 kilos onto the stack today and do that, which is quite nice. It's quite nice to, you know, not be limited by the amount of weight that the machines have or they can hold. So great little invention.
I remember back in the day we'd be able to sort of max out most of the machines in the gym. It's not really my reality these days, but good for you, man. Good for you.
I'm loving it. I'm loving
How's Zave's getting ready for the fight?
So Zave's has been coached now by Bryn. So yep. Samurai Strength. So anyone who's a fighter who's interested in strength and conditioning for fighters, Bryn Ely, Samurai Strength. He's programming Zave's stuff. So Zave's is just going into a deload this week. So he's cut his volume, the amount of sets and the weight has dropped off just as he comes into that comp and his cardio is sort of pulling back a bit. A lot more stretching this week. Still working on technical stuff at jiu-jitsu, obviously. So
does Bryn just do his strength and conditioning? Because you listened to the same podcast I did the other day with Stan Efferding, how he's looking after
John Jones,
the UFC fighter, and how everybody wanted a piece. You know, grappling's most important, striking's most important. They were all hammering him and overworking him, and they needed someone to sort of project manage his sort of recovery and his basically what they call his physical capital. Yeah, there's so much resource to kind of put around there, and everybody was trying to take too much of it. So having to manage that and obviously increase that through sort of recovery modalities of nutrition and sort of ice baths and that sort of thing, and sort of alternating the heavy and light loads of his training for sort of muscle flushing and that sort of thing. But Zave sort of managed his own workload because he'd
have in terms of jiu-jitsu, he's sort of under his coach Damien Smith from Allegiance, and he manages that side of it. But Bryn manages the all the weight training and all the cardio work that he's doing, which traditionally I think Zave, being real keen, just kind of overdid and probably came in a bit too overcooked, as a lot of the fighters have been doing, according to Stan. So, hey, you mentioned ice baths. I just spotted a research article today suggesting that they don't, in fact, increase recovery. So, yeah, may pay to do a bit more reading into some of
that. I read an article must have been 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And they compared ice bath with active recovery with passive recovery. And they found the only difference was psychosomatic, it was psychological. So, after what Mike was saying the other day, he used to do his legs, he kind of noticed it. And maybe it's placebo, maybe it's psychological, but if it works, it works either way. But I don't fancy the idea of sitting myself in an ice bath after training, unless I'm absolutely certain it's going to do something.
Yeah, I mean, like I've always had an attitude that, you know, they say placebo effect can give you, you know, up to 10% increase in performance in whatever aspect. And I'm kind of going, man, if it's all in my head and it gives me 10%, I'll take it any day of the week. So, yeah. Hey, look, we better bring Ash on. So I'll just bring him in.
Yeah, what are you doing? And I just, after our chat the other day, which I don't think's gone up, the one with all the boys, we were talking about different training, different recovery modalities just briefly. Yeah. Probably worth having a whole, you know, whole session on that, you know, kind of bring some research, bring some, you know, bring some suggestions and sort of bring, you know, have four or five different modalities we can talk about.
Funnily enough, I did a 300 level presentation on that. So I've probably still got it. And I think it's on Elite FTS on the powerlifting strength and conditioning site. It was published on there. So cool. Might be able to find that. Righty ho, let's find Ash. Right, here we have him, the man of the moment, Ash Mullen. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, brother. Yeah, really good. I'm glad to be on here.
Oh, bro, you've actually been in hot demand, and I've been chasing you for a long time, so I wasn't sure if you were incredibly introverted or our show was terribly unappealing or we just had bad timing because you've been really busy. But how's it all going in terms of managing the clients and things coming into a show? Is that hard work?
Oh, bro, it's been a lot of work, to be honest. Yeah. You know, it always is, because we've got a huge client base. So, you know, trying to put their focus on them as well as myself is always a bit of a battle. But, you know, I find a pretty good balance between the two, and, you know, I make it work. So, yeah, it's been good, bro.
Cool. Have you got some competing this weekend?
Yeah, Mike, I've got two guys competing with me as well, both in men's physique. I've got a young fella, Malachi. So this is his first competition, and he's looking really sharp. So I'm really excited to see this guy on stage. I think, you know, he's going to shock a lot of people. He's got an incredible physique. He's very tall. So he's got a very similar sort of frame to the young gun, Joseph.
Yep.
So very similar. So like, it's going to be really good to see him stack up against Joseph and see the comparison. But yeah, I'm really excited to see Malachi compete. And then also I've got another guy, Andrew, who's looking insane as well. This guy's competing in Masters.
Yep.
And this guy was peeled from like 10 weeks out. So it's going to be really cool to see him up there as well.
Awesome, bro. It must be cool, like, you know, competing on the same stage as your clients too. I reckon that'd be a real buzz.
Oh, absolutely, brother. Yeah, no, I love it, eh? It's really cool. Like, I gain a lot of motivation through my clients. So, you know, seeing them, you know, go through the journey and getting up on stage and just having a good time and seeing them kill it motivates me to do well as well. So, it's always a good, you know, blessing to compete with alongside them.
Do you use a coach yourself, or do you make your own calls on your physique?
Yeah, Mike. I've recently gone with Luke Thompson, the bro Luke. So Luke's taking care of my nutrition for this prep, and before that, I've been with Jeremy. So Jeremy Tavaga it's pretty much since my first IFBB show back in 2017. So I've always, I think my very first competition that I done back in 2016. I did that myself. So I did my own prep and everything like that. And since then I thought, you know, I really wanted to go far in the game. And I obviously knew that, you know, having a coach that knew what he was doing was the right direction to head. So I worked with Jeremy for, you know, a good 3-4 years. And then recently just gone with Luke for this prep. Just taking a different sort of approach for this prep. And you know, it's been really good. Like it's worked out really well. I'm feeling really confident with this prep. It's, you know, it's been it's been good. Like it's been very smooth. I'm excited to see, you know, the final package this weekend.
It's probably a good lesson for those out there that no matter how knowledgeable you are, as you clearly are by training other people, it's very difficult to make objective decisions about your own training and physique, especially in those last few weeks when you're right in the thick of it. So it's I've finally learned that myself, and I'm definitely using a coach for the first time this season.
I've always believed that. I think, you know, like, you only have to go and look at, like, you know, we were talking John Jones earlier, and, you know, arguably, you know, the greatest of all time, and yet he has 5 or 6 different people on his coaching staff. And even, you know, like, come a bit closer to home, and you look at rugby, you know, how many coaches did Richie McCaw have, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Coaching team. So, you know, the more input, the more knowledge, the more technicals.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
And those guys aren't cap depleted in the last couple of weeks either.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, exactly. You can make some really harsh decisions on yourself when you're trying to prep yourself, man. You know, the mind games are super, are just so strong, and you know, you can make some really poor calls.
But it's always harder on yourself than you need to be too.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. Yeah, like, so it's always good having that other pair of eyes on you to keep you honest, and tell you, you know, if you need to push harder, or, you know, if you're on track. I think that accountability is the most important thing, especially going into comp. So, I've always had someone, you know, watching over my prep, which has been really good.
Cool. Yeah. I managed to see you on stage last year at the Tournament Champions. Was it last year, November?
Sometime? Oh, yes.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So I saw you there, and I was very, very impressed by what you put on stage. What do you envisage much different in terms of size or condition this time around? What's your...
Yeah, last year was a bit of a last-minute call. I think it was just after the Wellington comp there. I was watching my clients compete, you know, at these shows, and I just got the worst case of FOMO, eh? And I obviously hadn't competed in that year, and I've competed every single year since I started. So I was going to take the whole year off last year to just focus on growth, but it got to the point, I had to, you know, do a prep, and I pulled in a 6-week prep, I think it was, for that Palmy comp.
Yep.
And you know, it was an aggressive prep, like I had to really, really push it. And you know, I was happy, like, for 6 weeks I was happy with the physique I bring, because normally my standard prep before that has been around about 16 weeks. I normally prep for 16 to 20 weeks. So you know, setting that challenge for 6 weeks to get ready was huge for me. And you know, achieving that goal, that was massive. So from there, I did focus on my reverse diet from that November comp, and I managed to build my calories up, probably the highest they've ever been coming into this prep.
What sort of numbers are you talking calorie wise?
Oh, I think I was sitting around 4.5, pushing 5,000 calories, and maintaining, like, I wasn't putting on any sloppy body fat or anything like that. So for me, that was really cool. I cut back cardio as well, so I was doing minimal cardio at the time. So when it came to prep, I officially started properly about 12 weeks out. Luke sent me through the first phase. Yep. And since then we've been doing just the weekly check-ins, and you know, as soon as I brought cardio back in and obviously started depleting the calories, my body responded really quickly and really well. So I managed to pull it in condition wise, like, yeah, I was pretty much ready. I was ready like two weeks out. So last week I did a full depletion week, and that was the grind for me. That was tough. But managed to get through it, and you know, we've reached a really good, probably the best, obviously the best condition I've ever been in. So now we're front loading carbs into this, going into this show, which is something I've never done before. Normally, carb up around about the Wednesday, of the last couple of days. So it was been good to obviously reach the condition early, which has allowed us to bring in some carbs yesterday. So feeling a little bit more alive this week, bro.
Nice.
We're sort of taking it day by day. I'm updating Luke every day, and you know, he's assessing how I'm looking, and you know, if I'm too flat, then we'll push in more carbs. So today he pushed in more carbs. Same thing as tomorrow, bro. I'll do a check-in, and you know, he'll see how I'm looking, and I think we're just gonna keep ramping it up, because at the moment I'm just chewing. My body's chewing through the But carbs, man, it's crazy, eh?
Are you still training?
Yeah, hopefully we can. Sorry, bro.
Are you still training? Are you still depleting your muscle glycogen along the way? Or
Yeah. So still training, Mike. Training hasn't really changed, to be honest. I'm still going heavy, keeping the volume pretty low. In terms of cardio, cardio's been cut back this week. So I was thrashing cardio. Like I think I got up to about an hour 45 minutes a day. Some days I was doing 2 hours. I was really, really pushing on the cardio side of things. But I find, like, I don't know, with me, I can handle a lot of cardio. Like I can really dig. I've been thrashing that. But this week, yeah, we've tapered that right back to 45 minutes now. So for peak week, it's sort of cruisy. Like we're sort of cruising into the show, which is something I'm not used to.
Yeah, well, it's after a full week of depletion and then coming in, cutting cardio, pushing up the calories, you know, there's a significant difference in the energy balance from the previous week.
Yeah, that's right, bro.
It's really interesting when you get in that phase where you start throwing those carbs in and you think, you know, oh, I'm going to fill up pretty quickly, but you don't, and your body it sort of hits its stride and just burns anything that you can throw at it.
It does. It's crazy, bro. Yeah, it really is. And that's why I'm sort of glad that we've carved up a bit earlier, because, you know, it's allowed us more time to reach that fullness. And then hopefully once we hit it, we can just sort of maintain that and right into the show. Because normally, like my other preps, I'll either come in, a little bit too flat or most of the time it's too flat. And I've sort of not filled up enough, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'll always, you know, even on the Sunday, I'll wake up and I look better today. I was like, oh, damn.
Oh.
But I guess you're always learning, eh? Like, you know, you're always, every prep you do, bro, you learn more about your body, you know, and how to peak, and every prep's a bit different. So, it's all part of the process.
Yeah, man. And
so sounds to me we're going to see the best Ash Mullen we've seen.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited, bro. I'm really excited to showcase and display the physique, that I'm bringing. It's going to be good. I'm really confident that I'll peak this time. So, I'm just looking forward to getting up there and sharing the stage with some other incredible athletes. Man, there's going to be some heat at this show, far out.
Everyone's talking about Ash versus Joey, and it seems seems to be. I've had people message me this week and say, "Who do you reckon's got it?" And my answer is Ash or Joey. I'm sitting on the fence, but because I really like both of your physiques, and I think you both, you know, got. You know, you're both outstanding in your own particular way. And I think whoever can nail that condition on the day, but it's cool to have that sort of storyline. I said that to Joey. It's a cool storyline to have two guys competing, and, you know, it's a bit different to the saga that's going on overseas where they're calling each other salty cunts and they've got no legs and they've got it's a bit tiring. I'm not really a big fan, for sure, bro.
But neither.
You know, and you know, both of you guys sort of know that you know going head to head, and there's a lot at stake, but both of you have sort of you know shown respect for each other, and I think it's just a good sense of you know, a rivalry, but a bit of camaraderie in there. And
it's
going to be exciting to see you on there, because, you know, you're both quite different in terms of your physique. But, anyone else out there that we don't know about in the men's physique that we should be looking at?
There's a few dark horses, man. Like, one of them's like one of my bros. He actually hasn't competed in a few years. Sip, have you heard of Cyprian? I think his last competition was in 2018 at the Pro-Am. Yeah. So he's been pretty quiet on social media, but he was aiming for the show. So That guy, you know, that guy's going to bring some heat, man. He's got an incredible physique. He's got really mature muscle. Yeah. Always brings condition. And he's quite a
big guy, because I remember training in Wolves with him back in probably 2015, yeah, maybe 2014. Yeah. And well, yeah, you know, he had a lot of size on him back then, a long time ago.
He is, really big, really big guy. So because he'll be in my height category, so it'll be good to line up with Sip.
Yep.
And yes, obviously see how we go with him. And there's a few others as well. I know Kurt Dell's got a few sharp clients coming in, bro. One of them, Luigi. I really like his physique. I've been following him on Instagram, and he's looking amazing.
Should we go and do a bit of a stalk of some of these people, eh?
Good idea.
Before we go searching off another places, we'll have a quick look at yours. So Ash Mullen _ fitness, guys. If you're not one of the 20,000 people following Ash, you should be. Get on there, have a look. Have a quick squiz through here. How far out was this one, bro?
That was this week, bro. Oh, that was on Sunday, I think. That was Sunday night. Yeah. So that was me fully depleted before I started my carb load yesterday.
You're still pretty
full. So yeah, I'm actually at the lightest.
You're looking pretty full,
I think you still look full, bro.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
but that's me flat as a pancake, man. I'm at the lightest weight I've ever been. So I got right down to 80, shit. I think it was 87.3 or something like that. I've never been that light in years. So it was a really good point for me to push down to and get reach that condition.
You hit some pretty dark places on the way down there, bro.
Oh, fuck yeah, bro. Yeah, so it's never easy, eh? But, you know, you've got to keep focused on the goal, I guess, and you know, keep pushing, eh? Fuck, it's, you know, that's where champions are made, man. It's in that dark, you know, the dark times. So it's been good.
You've got to give respect to anyone that can get really peeled, you know, whether they beat you, whether they, you know, you beat them or whatever, you know that they've done the hard yards, you know, they've had some pretty dark spaces.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
that's right, bro. You know, that's exactly it.
Yeah. It's one of your clients here in ICN too, eh? I missed you the other day.
Bro. Yeah. That was his first comp.
Yeah, he was wrecked, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I saw him backstage.
Full on. Yeah, I saw you guys. Sorry about that, bro. Yeah, yeah. It was a full on day.
I saw your ride, man. That looks really sharp, bro. I really like it. And I like the subtle graphics on it. That looked really cool, man.
Oh, thanks, bro. Yeah. Thank you. The old truck. They did a really good job of that. Yeah.
So this one here was this was last year, eh?
That was last year at Tournament of Champs. Yeah, that was the last show I done. Oh no, sorry, I competed the week after that as well. So that was last year.
What differences are we going to see compared to this photo?
Oh, way tighter, like way super, like just way tighter through the midsection, bro. Like I wasn't at condition for that show, to be honest, just because my prep was so short. So I wasn't, and then just a lot fuller. Like I look at that photo and, you know, some people might think it looks pretty decent, but to me, I can see so many flaws in it. I can see a film of water. I can see way too flat. So that's what, you know, the goal, that's why for this prep was to reach condition early and then start to fill out and harden up so we can bring a fuller, harder, more conditioned physique.
Yeah. I mean, as you say, man, to most people, you know, that would be almost a pipe dream to achieve a physique like that. But once you've achieved a physique like that, you're always looking, you know, what's next? Where can I improve? Yeah. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah, happy but not satisfied.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Happy but not satisfied. I like that. Cyprian, isn't it?
Sipford. What's that one, bro?
Sipford, that's him, isn't it?
Never satisfied, eh? That's it. This guy's a beast, man.
I hit Cypress Hill by mistake. Oh.
There he is. Fuck.
He's got some pretty round muscle on him, eh?
Yeah, bro. That's that was 7 weeks out too, bro. Fuck.
Yeah, good wheels too.
Big boy. Yeah. Yeah. That was his last update though. So you know, it'd be crazy to see how he looks now.
Yeah. We will watch. We will watch him. Oh, I might just get him caught up.
Yeah, give him a follow, bro.
I haven't seen him for a long time. So
really really nice guy too.
Who's our other chap we were looking at?
He's a top man.
Who's
A Luigi, bro. He's another
Luigi.
He's another one to watch. I really like this guy's physique, bro. He's got awesome condition.
Is this guy Luigi Melico?
Yeah, yep, that's him, bro. So,
I apologize, Luigi, bro, for saying your name wrong. Here we go.
He's a private one.
It's all right. So he's got some. Okay. He's got a bit of form there. Yeah. Been competing for five odd years, so.
Bro. Yeah, he's got a really good physique on him, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Be good to see. Really exciting. And we said the same thing when we spoke to Joey that, you know, the standard of men's physique has just come leaps and bounds. And, you know, as a bodybuilder, when it first sort of came in, I went, you know, did the usual kind of, you know, cynical sort of thing. But it's hard.
Remember the quote from Luke Sandow?
What was that?
Quote from Luke Sandow? Well, we can say now because he's passed on, but he said, "Oh, there's already a class for guys with no legs. It's the wheelchair class."
Oh,
that's what he said about men's physique.
Far out.
That was the attitude of bodybuilders earlier.
It's a rough age.
Certainly changed now, but
But you know, as I said when we were talking to Joey, you know, like the standard is now so good that even as an open bodybuilder, you sit there and go, that guy's a big man. You know, there's a little, and like, you know, and I think Denimo is a great example.
Dennis. Far.
Unit,
bro.
Yeah, and the delts and arms on some of the physique guys now are
phenomenal. Out the gate, eh?
Yeah.
It's literally bodybuilders and board shorts these days, bro. It's, it's changed a lot and it's progressed every year.
Yeah.
The class is just growing and growing. So, it, you know, you've got to keep up. Otherwise, you're going to get left in the dust, bro. It's
that focus on keeping the waist really tight. Because, there's bodybuilding, but not at the expense of the V-taper and the waist.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mike. Yeah, and that's why I really like the class, to be honest, is that just the aesthetic of it, you know, the look of it, the nice taper, the wide shoulders and the tight waist is something that's always appealed to me. You know, I do, you know, I obviously, I train my legs and that, but I had to cut back on them because, like, to be honest, my legs are my quickest responding muscle group.
Mm.
So I normally stop training legs literally on like prep. I won't train legs and just focus on my upper body. But, I'm thinking of on my next off season, maybe to just focus back on the legs again and, you know, hope, you know, even see how I go. And if I can put on enough size, maybe move up a class. In the future, but
men's physique's very marketable though, you know, and you create a good men's physique body, and there's probably a lot of opportunities that open up from a marketing perspective.
You could be
a men's physique pro by the next off season, could you?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, that'd be the dream. That'll actually be the dream. So we'll have to see how we go.
Well, someone's going to have that dream become a reality this weekend. So it's how's it? It must be hard to go to sleep at night if you start overthinking that one.
It is one of those things. Like it's something I've actually thought of every single day since I first started competing like 5 years ago. Nate is the dream of getting the pro card. Obviously, the goal's always been to make it to the Olympia stage and compete with the best in the world on the Olympia stage. That's always been the goal. So, you know, obviously getting the pro card is a stepping stone to making that dream a reality. So it'd be life changing, you know, getting that card. But, you know, it's something like, I'm always going to be constantly working on it. Like for me, I'm never going to stop. So, you know, if I get it at this show or if it's going to take me another year, I'm still going to grind, bro, like until I make it. So, I'm just really enjoying the journey and seeing my progress every year.
Awesome, bro. Well, I'm, for one, very excited to watch men's physique, probably the most excited I have ever been to watch men's physique this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. It's also going to be a really cool show because we're going to have some fantastic quality bikini competitors as well.
I'm really excited to see that.
And I was a bit sort of, you know, in the past, I was a bit ho-hum about the bikini class, but the more I have interacted with the top-level bikini competitors, the more I recognise just how much work they do, how meticulous they are. And, you know, to be fair, when you're talking about, you know, our top amateurs and our professional bikini athletes from New Zealand, they work as hard as any of us. You know, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, bro. I'm really excited to see that class as well. That bikini class, and an open grade is going to be insane, bro. Like, it's going to be, I can think of, you know, at least 10 girls that are bringing the heat to that comp, and it's going to be a huge, you know, huge battle to see who gets that card, man, because I'm really excited to watch that. The old bikini class. So
I had one personal trainer or coach send me some photos of his client. I'd never heard of her. And she looked really good. I won't say who it is, but I'm looking forward to seeing her on stage, as well as Jess, obviously. And there's a bunch from around the country that, and I guess in bikini too, you know, it's always the person you've never heard of that comes in.
That's, that's right. Yeah. You can't count out my partner too, bro. Oh, Louise, man. She's she's bringing the heat to that class too.
I didn't realize your partner was competing as well.
Yeah, bro. Oh, shit.
Oh, how's the household been with two people dieting?
surprisingly, good, bro. We're used to prepping with each other. So it's actually, it helps us, you know, prepping together, to be honest, because we're both so driven and focused on it, and we understand what each of us are going through. You know, we know when to give each other space if we need it, and we know when to, you know, obviously support each other and help each other when we need it as well. So she's looking, I'm so proud of her. Like, she's looking incredible. It's best she's ever looked. She's put on, because she took the whole last year off to put on some muscle. So that year she's been working with Sheena, she's been an incredible coach for Lou. She's made some incredible progress over that year off, and to see her, you know, strip down the layers and reveal all that hard work, fuck, her physique looks completely different to what it was at her last show. So I'm actually more excited to go see her and watch her compete than I am myself, bro.
Man. Hey, well, Lou, all the very good from us, and it's kind of slipped under the radar there, but look forward to seeing
you. You're low key, yeah.
Mike, any comment on couples prepping together?
I find it the same, actually. It's pretty good. You kind of just both respectful of what each other's going through. So, if you've got the energy, you do a little bit more. If you need it, you do a little bit less, but only if you really need it. You know they're going through it too.
That's the one.
Hey, bro, I don't want to keep you on too long because I know it's hard work when you're prepping and, you know, you've got lots on your schedule. But as we do always, we open the floor to you to say thanks to those people that have supported you, any of your sponsors, your friends, your family, your training partners, anyone you want to do a shout out to, the floor is yours, my man.
Oh wow. Okay, thanks, bro. There's so many people I'd like to thank. Firstly, I've got to give thanks to Luke. My coach, who's helped me with this prep. It's, you know, he's brought me in the best I ever have. So I'm truly grateful to be working with him. I've followed his plan, his diet to a T, and the results have spoken for itself. So I'm really excited to just polish up this week and bring my best physique to date. So thankful to him. Two other guys that I look up to highly in the industry, and I've got a lot of respect for is Jeremy Tavaga. Okay, you know, he's had my back since day one. I've worked with him for years, and you know, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him. Like, he's helped me grow to where I am today, so I'm hugely grateful for him. And also the bro Shane Hunter, he's another one that's had my back since day one. Super good guy, man. But not only do I look up to him in the bodybuilding sense, but also, you know, as a family man, and a businessman as well. He's always been a big inspiration of mine. So thankful to him. Also, my sponsors, ASN as well. I've been very fortunate to have them, been partnered with them since 2017, I think, my first year of bodybuilding. So, you know, they've looked up after my supplementation every year since then. So, you're truly grateful to have them on my side. So thanks to Bailey and Craig Durston. And, there's so many people. my training partner, Nate, if he's watching this, if he watches this, I know he'll watch this. He's the man. I'm really thankful for him. He's the one pushing me and, you know, he's helping me through these harsh training sessions, and he's making sure that I'm you know, doing the best I absolutely can each and every session. So, thank you, brother. And obviously my friends and my family, that, you know, I've had some incredible support over the years. And all our Team AMF clients, you know, all those guys, they're all part of it. They, you know, I've been truly blessed with the support and along my journey. And then obviously my last would be my partner, Louise. You know, she's the reason why I'm here, bro. I wouldn't be here without her. So, truly thankful for her.
Awesome, man. That's really, really cool. Look, we look forward to seeing you on stage. I'll catch up with you when you're up there, and no doubt you'll be bouncing around by that stage, hopefully, if you're not too dehydrated. also to everyone else that's competing this weekend, have a great couple of days rolling into the show, and all you guys and girls that are up in Auckland, make sure you get along to the show. Get yourself tickets, $40. It's going to be a fantastic show. Got to support local bodybuilding and the people that support it. So do your thing. Everyone, have a great week out there. Stay safe. Have a really productive week training, and we will catch up with you shortly.
Wicked.